Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Luke chapter 2. And we're just going to read one verse in Luke 2, and that's going to be verse 14. Boy, I tell you, you can tell a whole lot about a church by the way they sing. And it is a blessing to be in a church that loves to sing. Of course, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some are making noises and some are singing. But hey, we praise God that we can do it, don't we? What a blessing. We have all kinds of people here at North Central Baptist Church, and all people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching online are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus Christ and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Little Johnny didn't have peace. Little Johnny, his mother kind of knew he was really going through a streak of rebellion. And so she said, you know, I think if you think it's time for you to get some presents, I want you to write Jesus a letter and ask him for the presents that you want to get. So he started out, Dear Jesus, this is Johnny. I've really been good this year. I would really appreciate a bicycle. Signed, Johnny. He looked at that. He tore it up, set it aside. Because he knew his attitudes and everything. And he started over. Dear Jesus, I've tried to be good, and I would really like a bicycle, if possible. Signed, Johnny. He looked at that for a while, tore it up, set it aside. Dear Jesus, he wrote again, I thought about being good a couple of times this year. I'd really like a bicycle. Tore that up. His mom was kind of eyeballing him doing this, and all of a sudden he just got up and went outside, and you could tell he was conflicted. He was walking around. He knew the way he had treated folks and things he had said and things he was supposed to do he didn't do. And, man, he was really conflicting. So he just kind of was, you could tell, he was just pacing around in the backyard. Finally, he just started walking down the street, and he ended up in a Catholic church, and he went in. The doors were open. He went in there for a little while, and then he could be seen looking at the statues. He was just eyeballing the statues. Finally, real quickly, he just grabbed one of the little ones and came home. He put the statue under his bed. He wrote Jesus this note. Dear Jesus, I know I have broken the Ten Commandments, and I know I have been ugly to my mother. I'm desperate. If you ever want to see your mama again, give me a bicycle. Signed, you know who. Well, little Johnny didn't have peace. I want to talk about peace today, because as we have looked at what the world needs right now at Christmas, we've talked about hope. Boy, I tell you, if the world needed hope, they need it now, don't they? I just had a thought I probably shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If the the Gators need hope right now. I mean, we literally threw away our opportunity at the college football championship series playoff. But anyway, all right. So we look forward to, we need hope in the world. We need love. We talked about love. Well, today I want us to talk about peace. Next week we're going to talk about joy, okay? And by the way, next week our youth pastor, Chris Woods, is going to be preaching on the love of Christmas. Isn't that going to be special? So I want you to be here to encourage him and to celebrate as we look at Luke chapter 2 and the joy of Christmas. So he'll be preaching. That's exciting. But today we're going to talk about peace. And of course, on Christmas Eve, the theme that night is light. And then on the 27th, the theme that day is change. So this is what the world needs now at Christmas. The truth is, the world needs to know that there is a God who sent Jesus to save us from ourselves and our sins, and to provide the greatest source of hope, peace, and love to ever be found. This is what Christmas is all about. Love like that can heal someone who is bitter. Even someone who has had a tough life can overcome with God's love. So you think about peace. How do you find it? We spent several months studying the life of Solomon. You remember that in the book of Ecclesiastes. He was desperately seeking peace, and he tried all these different things. You remember in history, Stalin, who ruled in Russia. Stalin was an atheist and did not have peace with God. And in a Newsweek magazine, Svetlana Stalin, his daughter, talked about Stalin's death. She said this, she said, "My father died a difficult and terrible death. God grants an easy death only to the just. At what seemed the very last moment, he suddenly opened his eyes and cast a glance upon everyone in the room. It was a terrible glance, insane, perhaps angry, and full of the fear of death. Then he lifted his left hand as though he was pointing to something above and bringing down a curse upon us all. The gesture was full of menace. The next moment, the spirit wrenched itself free from the flesh." That was Svetlana Stalin in Newsweek magazine describing the death of her father, Joseph Stalin. The world seeks peace. It's in a state of chaos most of the time because of the problem of sin. Man's selfishness causes him to be at odds. Conflict with his fellow man. Relationships are strained. And there really is no hope for mankind apart from God's intervention. Peace escapes us unless we have God's intervention. We need God's intervention. And that is what Christmas is all about. Jesus was born into the world, and he had a purpose, and that purpose was to give us peace and to save those who would put their faith and trust in him. Do you realize when the Apollo 11 spaceship, I was just a youngster at the time, when the first men went to the moon, do you know they took a plaque with them and they deposited it on the moon, and it said this: "We come in peace for all mankind." It's as if the world knows that is what we need. We need peace for all mankind. Robin Williams, the incredible comedian and actor, several years back, he took his own life. It's amazing what can happen when there's no peace. I have an article that I have saved that was from years and years ago when he wrote about his life. And in this article, he said this about his humor. He said, "Somewhere in childhood, housed in memory, are the fears and longings that drove him to achieve extraordinary early success," the author writes about Robin Williams. "In the wake of that success came drug abuse and a broken marriage. But throughout the difficult periods of his life, he has used his will, his wit, and unerring comic sensibility to connect with both the people in his personal life and the audiences with whom he remains immensely popular. Then they quote him. They say that he said this: "I basically started performing for my mother, going, 'Love me.'" Williams recalled, "What drives you to perform is the need for that primal connection. When I was little, my mother was funny with me, and I started to be charming and funny for her. And I learned that by being entertaining, you make a connection with another person." He talks in here about drug abuse and how he was getting victory from it all. But what the article didn't know, because it was written way before, it was actually written about 14 years before he took his own life, is the article didn't know that he would eventually come to the point where he couldn't succeed by being funny, and that primal connection that he was looking for was never met. I'm here to tell you that primal connection that he calls it, the deepest need, is peace with God. And until we find it, until it finds us through the Lord Jesus Christ, until we put our faith and trust in Jesus and sell out to him and say, "Jesus, you've got all of me," really there will be such a longing that will drive you to do everything you know to do to make you happy. And until you find Christ, you will not find that happiness. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says this: "Glory to God in the highest." This is the message of the angels when Jesus was born. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And that goodwill toward men can be interpreted, on whom his favor rests. In other words, peace on whom his favor rests. Well, can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus, it is his will that all should come to repentance, that all should be saved. He provided a way of salvation for those who would put their faith and trust in him. And so if we will put our faith and trust in him, we have his favor. And if we have his favor, we have his peace. The word peace in the Old Testament means completeness. It means soundness. It means well-being. It's a rib-rock kind of word in the Old Testament. And really, the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament word peace is the idea of salvation. Peace does not come to us. The peace of the Old Testament does not come to us in the New Testament apart from knowing Jesus Christ. We find peace in Jesus. In the New Testament, the New Testament emphasizes grace, giving a beautiful picture of salvation. So we find this peace in Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We find this peace in Jesus. There is no other way to ultimately find it apart from Jesus. Now, there are three things about the peace of God that I'm going to talk about in a minute, but I want to remind you that when we talk about peace, we have, number one, peace with God. You know, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." So you can write that down. We have peace with God, Romans 5, 1. We also have peace from God. Do you realize that? We have peace with God. That is, that we can be reconciled to God, Romans 5, 1. But we have peace from God, Romans 1, 7. It says this: "To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." So we have peace with God, we have peace from God, but here's the third: we have the peace of God. So we have all these, as you think about peace, the different facets of peace that we're given. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, It's talking about not being anxious for anything. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace comes with the presence of God. The scripture makes that clear. When the presence of Jesus, when Jesus was incarnated in Bethlehem, what we celebrate at Christmas, all of a sudden God came. And it says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Now, I want you to look at one other verse of scripture. Go back to the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and we'll get into a phrase here that I want us to emphasize. Matthew 1, 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, say it with me, God with us. Emmanuel, translated, say it with me, God with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. Now, I want us to think about that. God. He's the creator. And he's with us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 40, 26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name and by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. No one is missing. In Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, he was before creation, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. In Psalm 8, the scripture says this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? In other words, God is, when you think about Emmanuel, God with us, just take that word God, that means he's the creator. I used to have a teacher when I was in high school that at our church it would say, the God creator of the universe has come to live inside of you. And that's true. When you think about him, he is the creator of the universe, God with us. Think about the second word, with. He is over us, he's in us, and he has identified with us. That's what the incarnation did. He identified with us. He's over us. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, therefore God also hath highly exalted him. This is Philippians 2, 9 and following. And given him the name which is above every name. In other words, the Lord is above us, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he's over us. He's in us. By the Holy Spirit, he's in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? God with us. You say, what do you mean God's with us? Do you know that as a believer in Christ, everywhere you go, Jesus goes? The Spirit of God goes. The Bible teaches that God is in us. He's over us. Every knee will bow to him. He's over us. He's our authority, but he is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the scripture teaches. And then when we think about the word with. We're looking at that phrase, God with us. We think about that word with. He identified with us. Do you know that in the book of Hebrews, the scripture says this in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he has identified with us. God, he's the creator, with. He's with us. He came to identify with us. And then, why did he do that? So he could save us from our sins. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God is with us. He is our advocate. Everything we have experienced in temptation, every difficulty, was all experienced by the Lord. He has experienced it in his incarnation, and he died on the cross and paid for all of our sin so that we might know him in a personal way. Emmanuel, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. And it only comes with Emmanuel, God with. Then here's the third thing, us. You and I. Little old me. Redheaded kid growing up on Barnes Road in Jacksonville, Florida at the Willowick Apartments. Number 10. That's the place where they used to come see me, and I'd run out the back door. I've told y'all that story. The church would come by, and my Sunday school class, they'd want to talk to me about Jesus, and I'd tell Mom, tell them I'm not here. I'd run into the courtyard. Since I gave my life to Christ and the Lord has allowed me to do church-related work and preach the gospel and work with young people and work with folks, when I go back to Jacksonville, every once in a while, I go to the Willowick Apartments, and I pull in there, and I pull in front of number 10, and I remember. Right where I park, behind me is that ditch I blew up the Star Trek Enterprise with an M80. You know, I don't think you can get those anymore. But anyway, that was a major firecracker. I mean, and that thing, I mean, it went to, it just blew to kingdom come, you know. But anyway, I got a lot of memories right there in front of number 10. But one of the memories I have is that God was after me. Emmanuel, God with us. That's it. That's it. God with us. Jesus Christ is a Savior for all people. He did not come just for the rich. He did not come for the powerful. He did not come for only the healthy or only the religious. He came for us. He came for you. He came for me. He came for everyday people. John 3:16, probably the greatest verse of Scripture. I mean, so meaningful, so beautiful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God has always been, Jesus has always been after people. In Matthew 9:36, the Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And ladies and gentlemen, the more in love with Jesus you become and I become, the more when we see people in this world that have no answers, people that even seem successful, like a actor and comedian like Robin Williams, who was searching for what he called a primal connection. And we know what that connection is. It puts a tear in your eye when you see people that don't know Christ and you want to tell them about Jesus. He was moved with compassion for people. At one time, Jesus said that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And he wanted the tax collectors and the sinners to know of the gospel. Jesus came for all people. Look who will praise him in heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. Peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. The baby Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. The story, so amazing, of God's creation of man and man's ruining of that relationship. The world says you can fix it. You try and try and try, but you cannot fix it on your own. Peace comes by that baby on Christmas. When you know God and you know Him in a personal way, that's how you find that peace. There's a story that Paul Harvey, some of y'all don't know who Paul Harvey is, and some of y'all do, but there was a story that was that he wrote at Christmas time, and he said, there was a man I'm going to introduce you to who was not really a Scrooge. He was a kind and a decent, mostly good man. He was generous to his family and upright with his dealings with other men, but he just didn't believe in all that incarnation stuff which the church proclaims at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense to him, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, "but I'm not going with you to the Christmas Eve service," he said. "I just feel like I'd be a hypocrite. I'd just rather stay here at home and I'll wait up for him, wait up for y'all." And so he stayed, and they went off to an evening Christmas Eve service. After the family drove away, he sat down by the fire. It was a cold, cold night. He sat down by the fire to read the newspaper, and it began to snow. And it got heavier, and it got heavier, and it got heavier. Moments later, he was startled by a thud, a sound that he'd never heard it. It's like a boom and boom, heard it again. And so he got up and he went into the living room, and he looked out the picture window, and he saw out there in the snow, there was a little group of birds, small little birds, and it was cold. It was so cold, and they were hitting against the big window in the front of his house trying to get in. They saw the light, and they were trying to get in, and he said, "Oh my goodness." And so he thought, "I've got to do something." And so he opened the door, and he thought, "I've got a barn where they keep the pony. My daughter keeps the pony, and I'll just shoo him in there." But the closer he got, you know what happened. They just ran away. They were just startled and scared by him. And so he went in, he got little breadcrumbs, and he put them down and had a trail to go into the opening of that barn. And he thought, "If I can just get them to nibble on this, they'll come into the barn." But the closer he got and the closer they got to what he had done, they just ran and flew away. He thought the food would entice them, but it didn't. Instead, they scattered in every direction, except into the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized that they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, "I'm a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them." But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. And then he thought, "If only I could be a bird. If I could be a bird and I could mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to safety, to the warm barn. But I'd have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand." At that moment, out in his front yard in the snow, the church bells rang. The service was about to begin. And the sound reached his ears, above the sounds of the wind. And he stood there listening to the bells of Christmas. And as Paul Harvey ended the story, and he sank to his knees in the snow, he finally got it. He realized that the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us peace. And he did it by coming. He did it by initiating his love in the coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to this earth and he spoke the language of the people and he lived a life on this earth. And he died on that cruel cross for the sins of mankind to make it possible for us to know him in a personal way. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. And on earth, peace. I don't know about you, but my story is as a teenage boy in a broken home. I'd lost my dad to cancer. I was thinking about eternal things. Somebody invited me to go to a place. They were talking about Jesus with young people. I was a teenage boy. They told me about Jesus. I knew the guilt that I was carrying about the way I was living. And I didn't know how to get out of it. I was trying to find peace in other places. But then I heard that the God, the Creator, could be with me if I would give my life to Him. And He would take away my sins. That decision to trust Jesus put me on a path that totally, radically changed the direction of my life. Has that happened to you? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? I could think of no better time to do that than at Christmas time. I'd like for us to bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.